We have now a considerable number of processes. And let's boil these processes down to vital processes. Now, I've just got through making a list and giving it to you here about the various sections of a book. Well, these actually, each one has a vital process connected to it. Wherever you get a vital process working, you have isolated a vital segment of life. This is quite the reverse way of making up a big theory, you see, and then trying to find a process that'll fit the theory. That's one way of going about it. The other way is after you've been at this for an awful long time and you find a lot of vital processes and so on, let's find then how the processes form themselves theories. And then let's see how many parts of beingness there are. And I went into that with you the other day, gave you there the number of sections of that book. Well, that's actually the number of processes that there are at this time that I know anything about. As I say, there's possibly more sections and subheads and so forth than that which would develop, but those subheads have been solving problems. And the keyest of those subheads is two of them. Are the oldest things we have. Survival is the oldest single discovery in Scientology. It has gone through a lot of ramifications and definitions and that sort of thing, but still, survival is the common denominator of life. Now, when we're talking about life, we mean Thetan plus form. And the goal of that Thetan plus form, you understand, is survival. It's very nonsensical on the part of the Thetan to have a goal of survival, since he couldn't possibly do anything else. See, so it'd have to be the form there which entered the liability. In order to get any action, randomity, interest, or anything of the sort, then he would have to add some non-survival characteristic in order to get a very good, solid piece of action out of existence, you know. If you took something which was totally survival, you would have to couple it to something which wasn't in order to produce some action. And so we get Thetan plus form. And you would say the form is the Thetan's desire for action, motion, different viewpoints, different conditions, states, experiences, adventures, entrapments, anything that you could possibly list. And these things then would append under this heading of form, wouldn't they? Survival, for the Thetan, is total. Therefore, only the form could be said to succumb. Now, religion has been saying this for a long time, such as save your soul, under the same heading of well, my Thetan is over there, or I almost had my Thetan located one day, but I must have been mistaken. Once in a while, you'll catch a preacher that you think is working very well. You'll catch him as not working well at all. This boy is in terrible condition. Just by the sudden slip of the tongue, I'm over there. That's all. And he's done it. You now know. He's putting something out in the way of a mock-up or something of the sort and chasing it around. He just hasn't got the word. He just hasn't grasped what you're talking about. Well, we have religion talking about this for a long time and using it itself as a trap. Save your soul. Your soul is liable to go to hell. It is liable to have this happen to it. It's liable to have that happen to it. If you are good, your soul will go to heaven. Your responsibility is for the condition of your soul because it is a fragile thing which can't possibly survive, and that's why we're selling you immortality at so much per immort. There actually is an effort then expressed by religion on the part of life, since, of course, religion is an expression of life. Because any part of life is the expression of life. We needn't count them out or throw them overboard. Religion is not a senior activity of life. It is a piece of randomity by which a Thetan has tried to give himself something less than utter immortality. A Thetan is faced with living forever. He can't do anything else. Well, all right, let's see if we can't vary that state. And that's what gets varied. He varies it with such a thing as religion. And he says this completely immortal thing now is going to become immortal only if certain conditions are answered. It's nonsense. I mean, it's just a piece of confusion. Now let's see. God is good, and God is all, and man is evil. You say, whoa, boy, now, wait a minute now. Let's see now. God is good, God is all. All, what do you mean by all? Well, the heavens, the earth, the firmaments, the beasties in the field. You say, and man? You betcha, man, and so forth. That's part of all. Okay, now you say, God is good, and God is all, and man is evil. Now, wait a minute now. You just got through saying man was evil, and God was all. What are you trying to do? Upset me here? Are you trying to be blasphemous? Are you going against the scriptures? Let's get it out into a complete confusion of personalities, quick. Because it won't hold water. It just won't even vaguely hold the slightest thread of logic. Any part of religion. If you wanted to define religion, you would say that portion of man's thinking which is most devoted to a confusion. It is an expression of this. And that's because it's the most intimate to the main problem. Here you have an immortal being, he can go on and on and on, who is trying to mock himself up in such a way as he will even convince himself that he is a mortal being. We have then even this expression where we don't even have the form being threatened with succumbing. See, they've gotten it up to a point where, look, you don't even have to have a body to die. You see, your soul can perish in some fashion or another. This is the main threat. Well, we needn't go into that any further. That's just a confusion. By the way, the most physical universe thing which we happen to have is religion, as it is currently expressed in our culture today. It is the most thoroughly physical universe devotion which you ever saw in your life. It's real earthy. It's real space, energy, matter proposition. If you don't believe that, look around and look at the density of some of the church columns you see. The expression of the Thetan, then, is in the direction of succumb. Horrible, isn't it? But he can express himself in the direction of succumb much more ably than in the direction of survive. Because he has to express himself in the direction of, I'm not quite immortal, I am mortal, in order to have anything. And mortality itself, by definition, of course, is a limited survival. So he can express himself then mainly in the direction of succumbing. And he mocks himself up bodies, which will have a finite duration. He mocks up his objects for a finite duration. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't suppose that an engineer would actually build into his buildings his own being, as you might say, as an engineer, a destructibility. And yet skyscrapers in New York City are built to remain in good condition only for 25 years. That is the general working plan. That's part of their plan. That's so they'll be torn down, another one will be put up. In other words, the engineer is overtly inserting into a set of plans just this factor, a germ of destruction. The idea of the Thetan is always to have a germ of destruction in any organization, in any form, in any activity. And if one is missing, he'll catch himself real quick and slip one in. Now, he does this practically on an automatic basis. It's the most inherent thing in his makeup. The germ of destruction. You could say every society carries with it the germs of its own destruction. Every plan carries with it the germs of its own destruction. They say the ethic of a society is never higher than at the moment when it was first formulated and organized, and thereafter it deteriorates. This is commentary all up and down the track. We're talking about a dwindling spiral, dwindling spiral, dwindling spiral. But are we talking about a dwindling spiral, hopefully? Could that be? Or are we only talking about it sadly? If you really want to get a conversation going someplace, start talking about death. Everybody will pick right up. If you want to really kill a conversation off and so forth, you just start talking about living forever. And you'll get a terrific amount of flippancy, and you'll get this and that. Just try it sometime. The Thetan hopes for a dwindling spiral. It's never going to occur. And that's why he has to keep hoping for it overtly. A dwindling spiral is not the truth. It is simply a number of considerations which are added up to combine in experience. And his experience, therefore, is something which has to cut back his survival. An experience which completely extends his survival forever would be looked upon by him as about the dreariest view he could imagine. Therefore, such an experience is unpopular. And you are quite often will find somebody that you get him practically clear, and all of a sudden he'll change his mind about the whole deal and throw in a whole lot of randomity into his own case. Well, when he's done this, you shake him by the hand and kiss him goodbye. You're not terribly interested in the fact that he has done this. You have at least brought him up to the point where he could wreck himself. See that? Doesn't sound reasonable, does it? What the hell has reason got to do with it? We're looking now just at experience and nothing else. We're looking at experience of life. We're taking a broad look at it. We're not protesting against its mechanisms, nor aiding and abetting them, or trying to change its mechanisms, or anything of the sort right now, right this minute. All we're trying to do is take a truthful look at what individuals are up to. Now, we see this expressed in terms of communication. There isn't any reason, you see, why a Thetan can't be in full form. There's no reason why a Thetan couldn't be a somethingness. There isn't any reason why he can't be a nothingness. His usual expression, however, is the best trick is to disappear, and so a Thetan is invisible. But remember, that's just a trick. Remember, the invisibility of the Thetan is not something which you should take for granted as the condition which characterizes a Thetan. It is not. Very definitely is not a characteristic of the Thetan. It's one of the things he can do. He can disappear. And he has so hopefully been disappearing for so long that he gets this down as sort of a natural condition. Some people get trained to disappear, and some do it natural-like. But as we run solution processing, part two of part two, procedure 30, we discover rather easily that disappearing is one of his key considerations. Well, if he's got this as such a key consideration, this is an interesting fact. It must be something he has to work on. And sure enough, it is. He has to remember to do this. You get him exteriorized, if you were to say, well, I see you up there in that corner, he would consider himself betrayed, more or less. He would key in immediately any mechanism which he had to disappear, but thoroughly. Actually, I'd hate to tell Thetans how often they are visible. Because it would upset them. They think they've done a good job of disappearing. Well, there isn't any real reason why a Thetan is nothingness, except his consideration that he is. This doesn't mean he's actually somethingness. Because he's something that can handle, he's nothing that can handle, somethingness or nothingness at will. He can have form or no form at will. But because of this disappearance factor, he wants to get out of sight. That seems to be a very good way to go about existence. He gets out of sight. He can move in his mysterious ways, his mischief to perform. And in view of this fact, when you start processing him, you are processing him already in a relatively unnatural state. He's not there, he says, in terms of form. And he's done that for so long that he's added this into his favorite communication system. Now, here's the little test of this. If the Thetan were actually nothing, then all you would have to do would be to have a pre-clear communicate with nothing a few times, and what do you know? He'd exteriorize, wouldn't he? You'd give him a perfect communication. Well, as a matter of fact, you give him a communication with nothing. You have him communicate with nothing, and communicate with nothing again, and communicate with nothing again, and he does. He gets quite a little pickup on it. And communicate nothing again, he gets quite a little pickup on this. And communicate with nothing again, and communicate with nothing again, and now there's no further pickup. You catch that on duplication, C to E? Naturally, if he were nothing, he would simply exteriorize if you let him look at nothing often enough. It would be a very happy thing. He'd be the most cheerful fellow you ever saw in your life. If he himself were actually natively nothing. No, he has to... What you've done is overtly key in on him now his disappearance considerations. He just goes so far then. And he says, I don't want to get any more nothing than this. I'm nothing enough already to devil with it. And hangs up right there. See, you can only ask him to communicate with nothing a few times. It does produce a result, but it does not exteriorize him, which tells you immediately that you are not really processing a nothingness. Nor are you actually processing a somethingness. But everything a Thetan has agreed to do is based in terms of nothing and something, so therefore he communicates on the subject of something and nothing very easily. All right, he's carrying with him the germs of his own destruction. He started out to say, well, the germs of his own destruction are any system or body which in itself is mortal. You can get people down here in the hospital, real proud. Man, is this guy chewed up. The beautiful, sad pride of being about to die is a wonder to observe. You'll never mistake it for what it is. It's beautiful, sad pride. You say, well, look here. Don't people, when they die, writhe and protest and do all sorts of weird things and cough and give death rattles? No, the GE, after the Thetans departed, is liable to give a few kicks and a few death rattles and that sort of thing. If the guy is badly hurt and he's in a state of sudden shock, you will see the GE going in all directions and the body out of control. But any death which is coming on by reason of disease or sudden deprival, such as in surgery and so forth, is generally met with a fair degree of nobility. I've got quite a few case histories on this. I observed it rather well. One time, the most marked of these was a young boy, a Filipino boy, who had jumped off a bridge in Pasadena. This bridge in Pasadena was a suicide bridge during the Depression. They now have wire all up along the sides of it. There's the bridge that goes over, I think, to very near the Huntington Hotel, across that chasm there, under which runs the St. Andreas Fault. But anyway... the suicide bridge. And this young Filipino had some disappointment in love or something of the sort, and he went over and jumped over the bridge. And he hit a tree down below, which broke his fall, and he wound up quite alive. But probably was very few bones in his body that weren't at least broken once. But he took a look around and tried to figure out for a second what the devil he'd been up to. He was alive for about a half an hour, and his main concern was not the pain he was undergoing or anything like this. His concern was first a little bit of surprise as to why he did it, and then suddenly noting how bright everything was. See, the trees and the houses and the sky and so forth, these things were all bright, and life looked terrifically worth living right at that moment. And he went out and died a very noble death, but there weren't any of the signs there of a person who is, awfully messed up and in terrible agony. His main concern was the fact that he had tripped himself on his own germ of destruction. He had committed suicide, but he hadn't intended it quite that thoroughly. And he noted his mistake a little bit late, and he had to junk the mock-up, and he probably is having a good time now with another mock-up. But the main thing is that a Thetan does not go around really in terror of death. Nothing like that. But if he thinks he's supposed to act that way, why, then, of course, he will even be afraid of being afraid, and you get this manifestation of fear of fear. He knows that he's supposed to be afraid of being afraid, and so he's not supposed to be afraid, and he's supposed to be a brave man, but it makes him twice as brave a man if, when he's dead forever. No, nobody'd have much sympathy for him, actually, if they realized that the moment he kicked off after this great and noble act and had given his life for General Electric or Westinghouse or something like that, or some great nation such as that, nobody would stand around and say all those nice things, and you wouldn't get a good thorough end of cycle at all if they thought that a couple of hours from then, at the very outside, he'd have another mock-up. Nobody. You couldn't even get anybody to come to a funeral. First time I had a good cognizance of this is I saw a funeral being carted out. There are no funerals like there are in Kansas. Everybody attends them. It is a festive occasion of great magnitude. And they were wheeling this mock-up down the road with flowers poured all over it and so forth. And here came cars, weeping women in black and weeping men in black and weeping women in black and weeping women in black and so on. And I for some reason or other, I had just got through some auditing on the subject, and we just audited a couple of past life areas, and we've been examining the mechanism of departure, you see. And we'd run a funeral oration. I'm pretty clear. And, oh, it was a beautiful oration. He thought it was, too, while he was running it. It was the most gorgeous thing. Matter of fact, he was still stuck there expecting somebody to add a paragraph, I guess. And I'd booted him out of that, and he'd come right well aware of his own existence and its track, which he, of course, wanted to shut off as soon as possible. But having gone through all of this, I saw this mock-up being trundled down the road in a number one Cadillac hearse, you know, with all of these trappings and so forth. And I said, boy, somewhere around here, I said, some Satan is hanging around waiting to get in on the final fun about this whole thing and all these weeping people. Of course, it's, very amusing to see a funeral like this if you were to go to the house afterwards and find out how they were dividing up the deceased's clothes. I mean, that's what's most remarkable about these funerals. And the deep respect they feel for his will as they're dividing up what cash and furniture was left around, you know. I mean, I'm afraid that having watched these performances in various directions, that although it's interesting phenomenon to me, I can't really consider it more than phenomena. It is something Thetans do and life does, and it's an interesting play. But I like Hamlet myself. It's more sincere. Anyway, when we look, then, at a preclear, we must realize that he's hung himself with certain liabilities. We go back to one of the earliest considerations on this thing, which is survive. Well, let's understand survive with its dichotomy, succumb. And we realize that we are actually looking at somebody who can't do anything else but survive, and most of whose thinking, although apparently is in the direction of survive, is actually being fairly well concentrated upon succumbing. If he is having any trouble getting action out of life. If an individual is having any trouble getting action or interest out of life, his direction, perforce, must be leveled at succumbing. He had no other choice. He's got to figure out how to succumb. In other words, to get more action, one must then figure out better ways to succumb. You see this. Let's take an example of this. This kind of fellow goes out here and drives racing cars. He's low on action. But the driving of a racing car is an invitation to succumb, believe me. So any and all action becomes an invitation to succumb. It's not bad. It just means the fellow was kind of fresh out of action, fresh out of interest, and that sort of thing. But what are we talking about that is succumbing? We're talking about a form, a condition, a state of beingness, and a set of considerations. That's what we're talking about succumbing. We are not talking and never are talking and never will be talking about life succumbing. You see that? Life forms, life conditions, life considerations, but not Thetans. not the primary put-together of existence. We're not talking about succumbing there. So when he has his attention much too thoroughly fixed upon all these succumbing activities he is engaged upon, he then, if he gets a plus randomity on the subject of succumbing, will get into a condition where he has lost the control to get himself out of it for the moment until actually the mock-up is knocked off or something is made to disappear. See, something's got to disappear. The body, the engram bank, something has to succumb around here in order to change his state of beingness. Because he recognizes that he's got his attention too solidly fixed upon succumbing. Let's get his attention a little bit back on the surviving. And he remembers belatedly that there is such a thing as survival for a form. Now, a form has a finite period of survival, you see. Considerations do. Other things have finite periods of survival. So, they don't survive, though, if you don't put some attention on their survival. And what you have is, in somebody who is trying to die, is simply somebody below 2 on the tone scale. We could say this in the same breath. Same thing. Somebody below 2 on the tone scale, chart of evaluation. Somebody trying to die. We could also say somebody who didn't have enough problems and had to make more. And we can also say, having made more, can't, with this form anyway, clamber out of the soup. So he goes around preaching, acting the vast cult of let's all die. You see? And after a whole race has done this for a while, everybody forgets how to succumb as a form. They enter into such a thing as a Christian period. Everybody was going to die there. The second, third, fourth centuries A.D. in the Roman Empire, there was no philosophy extant, practically, but one. Let's all die. Let's see, what is the easiest and fastest way to get you gone, and so forth? Well, you get this concentration on this level ensuing after a period of lots of action, problems, and so forth. A post-war period will become one of these let's all die periods. Well, there are various ways to die. And people have various complex problems, such as my life is unsupportable, therefore I will die. But I would die, except I am afraid to die because I am afraid of pain, so forth, and that's nonsense, too. Pain is a sensation. Thetan will be attracted to pain rather than otherwise. See all this? So we get anybody below 2 going towards succumb as a result of not having had enough problems in life. They're making more, so on. After a while, somebody has to come along, an auditor or somebody of the sort, and say, you know, this is not a philosophy which is immediately shared by everybody in your locale. Let's survive. Let's take a look at the world, see if the colors are bright, and that some part of life is worth living, and that although the span of survival as a form is rather finite, nevertheless, what span it has is actually worth living. And you maybe ought to do something about this. And quite in addition to this, it's absolutely true that bodies will die. You know, I had this experience one day. I got a fellow up tone scale until he could have a recognition of the fact he wasn't going to live forever. He had a complete certainty on, finally, that he wasn't going to live forever as this form. And that was the time he cheered up. His case wasn't broken until I did that. He thought he was going to survive forever just as he was. And that was the thing that worried him. He either had to survive as somebody else or something else or in some different state in order to have any heart at all to go on. And that, in essence, is what you're trying to give people as auditors. Heart enough to go on by proving to them that they can die or have some other changed state.